You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonation might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got Matt Michaels here and Sin City Steve. We will be your crew for tonight. So thanks for hanging out with us. We missed you this past week. We had our Black History Week show, and we thank everyone for downloading and listening to those episodes. We got a lot of good response to that. We hope you enjoyed all the last week, and we hope to do something like that in the future, along with other traditional holidays or things we celebrate in upcoming months. So we look forward to doing things like that again. But we are back, and we're going to start off just pretty much talking about some of the Elimination Chamber and what we saw on Raw and SmackDown of this week. So, fellas, just going back to the Elimination Chamber, any big shocks that you saw from that show, you know? How about this? But let's just start with, okay. No, I know none of you guys saw The Miz. I know you. No one could say, I predicted Miz is going to get that title. But where do you see this is going now that you see he got it and where they what happened on Raw? Is he going to make it to Mania with this title? And I mean, they definitely have more choices for him to compete against for Mania than they had with Drew. But I thought the theory I was running to you guys the last show before we left about the whole idea with Bobby Lashley. And think about that, Matt Michaels. Just when I mentioned that, look how...
It's not a theory. That's what everyone assumes it's going to end up being.
But that was not the talk talking about it 2 weeks or even 3 weeks ago before I had mentioned it. No, it wasn't.
Oh, before you mentioned it.
Oh, no.
Come on, no, man. Everyone out there didn't fucking just all of a sudden listen to you and go, hey, DJ
Impact, Impact spoke it into existence. That's exactly what happened.
There was no, not even close. It wasn't even a talk about.
I have to ask, man, what are your thoughts? I mean, when you're in a situation like, you know, hypothetically speaking, you know, if they do this three-way, like what they've been discussing at Mania, you know, having Drew versus Miz versus Lashley, who are you pulling for in that fucking match, bro?
I know, right?
Oh, The Miz. Easy. I mean, the hands down.
The Miz?
Yeah. I've always been a Miz fan, though. So it's, I mean, that's not like, you know, that's not like a coming out of left field. Like I've always felt that he was, someone who deserved, a little more elevation in that light. But basically, if you do go into a triple threat, what you're able to do is have him lose the belt without ever getting pinned. And therefore he becomes the heel chasing again. And that's, I think, where they feel he's probably most useful for them. But then again, we still don't know what's going to happen with this fucking Bad Bunny shit. yeah, I mean,
who knows? Maybe Bad Bunny main events fucking WrestleMania.
So you know the theory on that.
What is it? Because I don't know.
So think about this. Everyone will shit on that idea, but if you put Bad Bunny in a championship match against The Miz, the truth is that he has such a huge following. It would be just to bring fucking eyes on the product. With that being said...
Now, would that happen at Fastlane or would that happen at Mania?
No, that would be Mania.
WrestleMania.
Shit. Yeah, dude. think David Arquette 2.0.
Oh yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that you're saying that, Michaels, I mean, it makes 100% sense, and I'm dreading the fact that it could possibly happen.
Wow.
Yeah. If they had the balls to do it, the honest answer is that there is nothing more than that type of match that could bring those kind of eyes. Yes, you'll get some eyes with him being in a match in general. But if you put him in the championship match, then you have a slew of just media coverage that just, and not only, you know, we're not thinking just traditional American market. We're talking Spanish speaking and Latin markets that would just gain a hell of a lot of footprint in those markets that, I think the main thing is you would gain a lot of younger kids between, you know, 13 and 18 and start trying to get some of that demographic to come in. So I doubt they do it, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I mean, they definitely been pushing him. I mean, the whole idea they were talking about, he had the belt on SNL. They made a big deal over that.
And that was amazing product placement for them, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he basically sang a love song to the fucking belt.
Yeah.
It was fucking awesome. Although, and here's the thing, you know, what's funny is that we can say product placement, but at the same time, I think, again, the problem is that what is that belt? Why is he holding it? And why should I take the time to find out what the fuck it is? So it would take a Saturday Night Live viewer to have to go into figuring out what the fuck that actually was.
Mm-hmm.
I think most average SNL people, I mean,
yeah,
if they're watching the show for the show, they're not watching for the musical guest. So
if he has
good product,
yeah. So if he has this match, let's just go on with the whole idea. If he does have it, does he win that match? Or he just, it's just the fact that he's in that match, but he loses.
No, you put the title on him.
Oh, he put the title, wow.
Yeah.
The title on him, have him lose it the next night on Raw?
Yeah. Yeah, or the week later or whatever. Yeah. You know,
give him a Kane run.
I mean, you don't... Because, like I said, you're going to get the eyes there in a tag match or some other lower card match anyway. You're just going to get a hell of a lot more publicity if it's a title match. And if he wins it, you got to give him like a week to drone out the publicity. So I would see something like that. In some ways, if they were going to do that, shit, I don't know if I would have had Miz cash in like the belt. See, that's where if you would have still had that Money in the Bank briefcase able to cash in, then it's easy to get the belt right off of him.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the other fact is that we're sitting here going, well, this sounds ridiculous, but at the same time, he did win this 24/7 championship too. So. They've already put one title on him.
Yeah. But with that, I guess with the Mania, if we do have this three-way, I guess Miz will probably end up winning that because you're going to probably have the two big men fighting each other the way it should be, just between them two, and then somehow... Yeah,
but that's why I say Miz doesn't lose.
Yeah. Right.
He doesn't get pinned.
Sure.
Right.
You have Drew... or Lashley pin. And don't forget too, what's interesting is we just saw a clear setup for Lashley and Miz to have conflict.
Right.
So Drew doesn't even have to, you know, Drew can get knocked out by Miz and then out of nowhere, you know, Lashley takes out Miz, you know, hits him with the clothesline over the ropes and then pins Drew and Lashley wins the belt. And now Miz is furious and chasing Lashley.
Of course, and that would make all the sense in the world. Now, if you're Miz, you've got to be absolutely petrified, because at this point it is WWE canon how much Bobby Lashley loves his white blonde women. Get Maryse in that angle. There you go. Why not? Just go all in.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And then right. his contract comes up. He can go to AEW. Maryse can stay in the doghouse forever. And we just do that with every single couple in the WWE for the next 15 years.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, so that was that for that part of the show. What do you think about the other part of the Elimination Chamber? We had Brian winning the match and then went right into his match with Roman. He does just a good job, Brian does, in the ring. I saw him this past Friday, just his promo with Roman, which was just perfect. I mean, you know, that would actually be a really good, you know, Mania match if it came down to them two again, I would think. I don't...
Did you not watch that match?
I did watch that match.
Yeah, Brian looked like a fucking 12th grader going against, a pro football player.
Sure. But, I mean, at the same time, he was beaten beforehand, too. You know, but if they both were fresh, I mean, you know, I think Dan would give him a...
Jey Uso was fucking, you know, Jey Uso matches up with
true,
Daniel.
True.
It's easier. Roman's huge. I have a hard time even believing, there's more of a chance to believe Edge versus Daniel Bryan just out of Edge match up better with him.
Yeah.
Edge matches up perfect with Reigns. So Edge is like the kind of the cog here. I kind of wish that at the end, so when Daniel went out there after the Chamber match, Roman, it would have been nice to see Roman playing with him, like a lion would play and toy with, you know, a piece of prey.
Yeah.
And as Daniel was getting his ass just fucking beat, that's when Edge comes out and costs Daniel the match. Because then you could have had a setup where Daniel was pitched that Edge for costing him that title shot. Edge was trying to do the nice thing by saving him from, you know, death.
So they fight at Fastlane and the winner takes on Roman for Mania.
You could, or you could, I mean, that could be your triple threat match. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have that as a triple threat match. This is one of the reasons I think that Bad Bunny theory is not necessarily out of the picture. If your main event is Roman versus Edge, you know it's going to be a fucking tight battle. It's going to be a main event type match.
Right.
So why not have, you know, the Bad Bunny win the championship at the beginning of WrestleMania? And then, you know, that way you can have bookending matches. But yeah, I let's put it this way. Is there nothing on SmackDown that isn't fucking gold right now?
No shit.
Dude, yeah. Yeah.
They're killing it.
And shout out to Reginald's new music theme and video. I mean, I love it. I mean, it's just funny because, I mean, even Cole made a good point. He was like, wait, isn't he supposed to be with Carmella? Yeah, we ain't seen her since I don't know when. And he's just...
She was on, I think it was last week, in kind of like a little vignette,
right?
Because
she was asking him, you know, what was he doing? Yeah. But still, there's been nothing going on with her, you know.
No, because anyone clearly watching realized that he has talent,
and true.
They're trying to put him with her so that Sasha has the heel heat going into the match with Bianca.
Yeah.
And Carmella basically was given a fucking opportunity to show that she can hang. I don't think they're going to do anything drastic, you know, like, you know, burying her totally or whatever. But honestly, it would be best served if they fucking put her starting in like a you know, either a valet or, well, fuck, Enzo and Cass came back this week wrestling. Why not put her with Enzo and Cass? Bring them back. I can't see
Cass look good, too. Cass look good.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. But, yeah, it's you know, the I think the pay-per-view was a solid pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. It got done what it needed to accomplish.
Yep.
You know, amazingly too, it didn't need the women's elimination chamber match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've seen that now for the past 2 years. So I think it was kind of nice that they just cool off. They didn't force that, which would have, you know, I think possibly been overshadowed then by, you know, the SmackDown or even the Raw, if they did that. So, and they're, yeah, both shows are, you know, Raw has its problems just because if you look at the talent on SmackDown, just makes a lot more sense that SmackDown would be a particularly, I mean, from top to bottom, man, look at Sami Zayn. Look at that. Sami Zayn made Baron Corbin interesting. Like, that's fucking hard to do, man.
Right.
And also, kudos, and please, can we just have Otis just fucking doing splashes from the second rope on top of the Mysterios all day? Wonderful. God, you know.
Everybody's saying that Otis turned heel. No, not at all. The Mysterios are the biggest heels on SmackDown. Every week, they attack, you know, behind the ref's back. You know, it's always a two-on-one.
Right.
It's always all sorts of random shit, and they get away with it because the last name is Mysterio.
Right, right.
Well, are we even sure that's Rey Mysterio? The guy wears a mask.
So true.
That's very heelish.
That's, hey, I'm telling you.
I really want to know, though, what did Murphy do with Aaliyah that has caused him to be totally off television?
Well,
and when is the baby due?
Good question.
Everything for a storyline, baby.
You know, I will say Dominic does. I will say he looks good, man. He's really. I mean, I was watching that match, and he was coming on very strong on that one. The match is. Moves are right on point.
He's getting a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
A lot better.
He can wrestle. The problem is he has to grow into the body.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, in 5 years, you're going to be looking at someone who could potentially be a star.
Right.
Yep.
But right now, you're seeing the benefits of being able to work with your dad, who, you know, was a surefire Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, you know, it's also good in a sense that you give a chance. Like, you've been able to see Baron Corbin this whole time without him being part of like a huge major storyline, and it gets experience for Dominic wrestling a bigger guy like that. So, you know, you can't go wrong when, you know, this is like. These are your like soft spots on SmackDown. It's unbelievable how everything has come together. And Jesus, look at, yeah, we don't even have the second Uso back yet.
Right.
I mean, are we gonna see a fucking just that start of a run of Dynasty guys and having the family table that, you know, it also allows, I mean, I think this next year you just build that up more and more and more to the point where finally The Rock comes in.
Right.
So,
And then you have your audience. But Raw, back too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Raw, on the other hand, of course, is fighting its own problems because they don't have the same type of appeal. You know, we haven't seen Bray because he, you know, is still burnt to a crisp or wherever the fuck his
right.
body went.
Yeah.
So you're relying on Randy, which is good. Randy's good. You're dealing with the title picture, which is fine. Outside of that, though, I mean, like, does anyone know what Asuka's going to do for defending the belt at this point?
No.
You know?
I thought it was a pretty good promo that you know, Charlotte had with her dad. I thought that was really good. But
they had to kind of get out of the him and Lacey type thing just because she's pregnant, not going to be on TV. Then
exactly, sure.
Yeah.
Now, what would be phenomenal is if Rick resurfaced with maybe, you know, someone else, you know, whoever that might be, like a Becky or, you know, it doesn't have to be like a lover angle or anything, but just to shove it in his daughter's face that, you know, he's still the man. I don't know. I hope they ended it, but you would think the same thing would be to have Asuka versus Charlotte. I think you have to turn Charlotte heel then.
Which there's no signs of that as of right now.
Well, we really don't know because they kind of made it a gray area. Because if you look at her, just kind of some of those actions are kind of heelish, but we don't know yet because of the fact that you just took away the heel aspect in Lacey. So she, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what do you do with, you know, with Asuka? The other thing is, like, what are you going to do with the women's tag the titles? That's another thing that's kind of shit. Why don't they go for it and just put them on what's her face and the other chick?
Riot Squad or
Dakota Kai and
for this match that's coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean I would think that they might almost have to do that.
You would think. I don't know where they go with Baszler and
have them finally split and then have that be a Mania match.
Possibly, possibly. I mean, you got 2 days to work with now too.
Yeah.
Which is interesting too, because we don't know what kind of format they're doing. So are they going to do one day Raw and one day SmackDown?
Right.
That's true, huh?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Also, boy, I hope all you fans out there got your WrestleMania tickets by now and are ready to go on your trip. People are just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I already booked 4 hotels, so.
There you go.
The talent it's, hotel on that list.
That's right.
Everyone knows that the talent's going to be hanging out in the public with a lot of no one fucking. Everyone's acting as if like it's just WrestleMania weekend as right. normal.
Yeah,
I can't. I seriously though, in all honesty, because first of all, what is the number they're looking at is what 30,000. Something like that.
Well, I thought it was at 15, but I know since Super Bowl had 25 that they probably are looking around that amount.
Sure, let's say in that range between 15 and 30,000, okay? And we don't know if it's going to be buy tickets for one night or both nights. So we don't know if we can count it being 2 nights of new sales, meaning that if DJ, you went on Saturday night, and I went on Sunday night, but you know, it's what I'm trying to say is you would not be able to go to both nights,
right?
They'll only allow one. If they don't do that, then you're confined to only 15,000 to 30,000 people being there. If you expand it to where you can go, you know, either night, then you've got a little more, you know, broad range of people.
Yeah.
My biggest question is, how fucked are some of these shows going to get that are doing all these big promotions and bookings, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And you can only get 50 people in.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that in terms of being that there's only 15 people that would go or 100 people.
Sure.
I'm saying that if you don't have over 100,000 people coming into the city, how can you expect this to be anything, you know, close to right. the same atmosphere that you're used to? So,
I definitely, if I was a promoter of some outside event, I wouldn't even have it this year. It doesn't make sense. You know, you're not getting the dollars that you would, you know, unless you want to create some sort of intimate experience, but you charge more money per person than you normally would if you want to have more people in. But I don't know if the average person would think it's worth it, you know, even if you want to charge that. Maybe it would work. But
one of the things you got to keep in mind too is that I think one of the reasons that so many shows were able to run WrestleMania weekend over the past few years is because if you couldn't get tickets to X, you went to Y. And if you couldn't get tickets to Y, you went to Z.
Sure.
There were, you know, there was the anticipation of so many people being there that you're going to find a show to go to.
Yeah.
Now, I think what's going to happen is if you're right in terms of that being smaller setting, maybe higher ticket price, then, you know, you're already limited, and now you got a limited amount of people that you can placate to. Boy, it just, I don't know. It's going to be tough, but hopefully people succeed.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that Enzo's asking fee for appearances isn't that high. And speaking of, that's another thing. Appearances, which is interesting, mm-hmm. because I'm assuming they're not doing a fan access for WWE.
Right.
Because how the hell are you going to do that with, you know, meet and greets, mm-hmm. put your talents, you know? So that relies now on these different organizations trying to, you know, bring in people who have names from any period in time. The same thing. Are you going to feel, I mean, as long as the wrestler feels comfortable signing autographs and sitting at a table for 8 hours, then I guess you do it.
Right.
But, you know, but the big show, you're not going to, not the big, I'm sorry, not Paul White. meaning Mania, you can't do fan access, I don't think. So,
right.
I mean, no Hall of Fame ceremony, apparently.
Thankfully.
Apparently, the Hall of Fame this year has no inductees either.
Dude, I've long believed that the Hall of Fame should be something that's closed door. Have it on the network. And, you know, don't allow fans in the building. Unfortunately, fans ruined it with their need to get themselves over at the expense of the people giving speeches and trying to recap their own legacies.
Right.
Fuck that.
Yeah. And also what it also turned into was they started peeling down time and not letting them tell stories and shit like that. Yeah, it'd be great if it was closed door ceremony, but what I'm surprised on is that for the first time since 2004, we haven't heard any rumble about any kind of inductions.
Nope.
There's like been no idea, nothing made clear of if they're going to put, you know, a new class in.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they can't do the ceremony, it would make sense at least to
sure
continuously announce people, you know, for, you know, I mean, he did it last year and, you know, so I don't know. There's a lot of questions, man.
Well, clearly they're probably definitely looking for the audience for that, but I agree with Steve. I got comp tickets to one of those Hall of Fame shows, and to me it wasn't that exciting. It was boring. You know, I was questioning myself, like, why would I want to be here? You know, I'm glad I didn't pay, but I'm glad, why would I want to be here? Because there's just nothing, I don't know. It was...
I was at the Hogan one in 2005, and that was the first one that they opened up the fans to because it was Hogan. They knew Hogan and Piper would bring fucking money.
Yeah.
And it started then. It was fucking horrible. The audience was just so unruly.
Yeah.
And you sitting in there, you're trying to listen to what the fuck is being said.
Sure.
And so they've been, you know, think about that. 15 years they ran that shit live. And it took 14 years or 15 years for a fan to finally tackle, you know, get into the ring and shit like that, which was a dumb fucking, like, why the fuck would you put this in the ring? Yeah, I mean, it could use retooling, but at this point, you know, what doesn't need retooling WrestleMania weekend? Because there's just all these questions, including if anyone will be let into the building that is a public paying person, or will they just dole out the tickets to family, friends, and businesses? Obviously, the Saudi prince won't be on the guest list here, so.
Why not?
You know,
he will make
an issue.
What do you say?
Travel visa. Oh.
I was gonna say he would make for a good manager, though, but I don't know.
Well, he could come in and manage you, Mustafa.
Oh, there you go.
What if see, Retribution, the whole time Retribution was just a Saudi hit squad. That's what I'm seeing.
Okay.
I'm
yeah,
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
At least it's something. It's better than what they have right now as a backstory.
Right. Well, I guess that's it. Anything else y'all want to throw out there for a Raw, SmackDown this week and Elimination Chamber? Nothing.
All right. No, I mean, everything's good. We did finally see a little bit of an Edge, no pun intended, back on Apollo Crews. So that was definitely cool to see.
Yes.
So them finally giving him some character depth. Yeah, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, definitely want to tune in to our three count tomorrow to hear a little bit more on our thoughts on that. So I guess with that, let's jump over into Impact Wrestling. And I just had a couple of things I wanted to mention that I thought was interesting. Missed 2 weeks of it. But I guess we finally saw the entrance of Juice Robinson and David Finlay. So they have made their from New Japan over into there. So it was great to see that they had their match and looking great with that. So that's all I'll kind of mention there. I mean, I think it's going to be some good you know, matches coming out of that. But Scott D'Amore was where I got to give a lot of attention to this past week. First thing is just the fact he's just funny. He took a jab. You know they have to do it every now on the different wrestling companies. And this was Vince McMahon night that he went ahead. So you know, Brian Myers pretty much came out and he wiggled him. Oh, come on. You know Brian Myers.
Like Oscar Mayer?
Michael Myers?
Michael Myers, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Austin Powers dude, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Some people may know him as Curt Hawkins, but we'll go with this name now. Right. But anyway, he wiggled his way out of a match. And, you know, Scott D'Amore finds him. And, of course, he gets pissed off. But then Scott D'Amore, like, I tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to have an eye for an eye match. He says it just like that, right? And then he talks a little bit more. And then it just goes away because he's going to have this match against Eddie Edwards, Brian Myers, because he wiggled his way out of not fighting him this week. So, finally, Scott D'Amore goes away. And he goes, wait, Scott, hold up. Am I really going to be in this eye versus an eye match? And Scott's like, no, that's silly. That's stupid. Why would you be a part of that? What? And then you're going to come back next week and your eyes well? Okay. You know, so Scott's just, you know, taking, I mean, of course, that storyline is almost a year old, but why not take a stab at it, right? A stab in the eye with it. So anyway, that was a good little promo there. Scott D'Amore's, you know, getting his shine. But Rich Swann and Moose, of course, they're supposed to have their championship for the Impact World title. Rich Swann's supposed to be hurt, so he wasn't in the building. Moose was like, look, I was given a title match. It's supposed to be the night. I'm not leaving this ring until I get my match. We got a chair and he sat there in the ring. That, you know, somebody's going to have to do something. So, you know, Jake something. And that's his name, Jake something. You know, he doesn't want to be a part of the Deaners, I guess, anymore. Just got finished with the match with his cousin there. And, you know, Jake ended up getting beat up bad by Moose. But on his way out of the ring, Jake leaving out of the ring, Scott comes out and says, I tell you what, Moose, because, listen, Rich Swann's not in the building. You're not going to get this match, and you're acting like you're not going to leave. So I'm going to now legitimize the TNA title. So, yeah. So now you have a title match tonight. And then he had a title match against Jake something. Okay. I know. And, of course, that was the main event. And who won? Moose won, of course.
You know, for people who like to take a shot at like an eye for an eye, mm-hmm. they went ahead and did a TNA title match.
Yep.
So, you know what? You could say all you want. Vince makes more money than you do. So,
There you go. Yeah. So, Rich Swann will have that, that match. I guess the next pay per view that's next. I think it's in April. I'll figure out the name by our next show, but it's an April pay-per-view, I believe. Or no, actually, I think they're going to do it. I think it's on the Impact Plus within a month, but it'll be a title shot for that Impact world title with Rich and Moose. And then I'm guessing what, you know, if Moose was to win at, he's going to be fronting both the Impact and the TNA. Or, I mean, if you're going to legitimize the TNA, where does that stand now? Like, is, they didn't make it seem like it was for one night. They just
it's really simple. You just make the match between those two a unification match, and then you've booked yourself out of that corner.
Gotcha.
It's really easy.
Okay.
It's really easy.
Just fucking have them ditch the title in the garbage can or something at some point.
That's what I'm saying. Just have it be a unification match, mm-hmm. and then you put those two titles together, and then the TNA title just goes away permanently.
Yeah, fuck it. I don't even see a unification. Just have them win the Impact title. And then the next TV, you just have them throw the TNA thing in the trash. And then some sap comes by and sees the title in the trash and now is the TNA champion. And if you tell me that doesn't sound like something that could be done in wrestling, you're fucking insane.
It has been done.
Right.
Hacksaw Jim fucking Duggan.
That's right. Yeah.
That's true. Well, we'll see where that goes with that. For some reason, if they don't figure out a way to ditch it, then they're going to somehow, and I can see Moose walking around with two titles just because I for some reason, I think they're going to stick with it, but whatever. That was Impact Wrestling. A lot else was.
Maybe the TNA title goes to AEW.
I was actually about ready to ask. I was about ready to ask both of you guys. So hypothetically speaking, if this is all leading to Omega versus the Impact World Champion, who would you guys rather see Omega wrestle? Would you rather see him wrestle Rich Swann, or would you rather see Kenny Omega versus Moose?
We'll be more fast paced with Rich Swann, but they have a bigger name impact with Moose. So it's tough.
See, here's the problem. You say bigger name, and quite honestly, Rich Swann is technically your bigger name, because if you put Moose in front of, you know, if you just put the name Moose in front of wrestling fans who don't watch, you know, much product, maybe they've heard of it. Rich Swann, at least they've heard of from WWE. So that would be the thing. But in terms of a better, like, Moose, he has something there that they just haven't been able to unlock yet, totally. They're on the cusp. He's right there. So maybe a match with Omega would make it. I don't know, man. What I'd like to see is a TNA versus FTW title match. Have those two fake fucking titles wrestle each other. Why not?
Have Brian Cage go back to Impact.
Right.
I'm surprised they haven't. Honestly, if I would have absolutely by now have been just have Brian Cage going over there and just fucking shit up.
Well, so something that Impact didn't mention is that Tony Khan had another paid ad this week on Impact.
He has them so much, I just go.
And he just happened to be flanked by a roster full of heels.
That's true.
So as if anybody was wondering what his technical alignment was. So they actually had Brian Cage on.
Right.
On the vignette.
Yeah.
So
isn't it funny too that the heel faction that he's aligning himself essentially with are the people who use the same hand signal as the fucking NWO? I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, guy. You know, we'll get into Tony Khan on the three count tomorrow, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, just fucking stop. Back off. Get the fuck out of the camera's eye, man. Because he is going to end up killing the company.
It was funny. I was telling my wife today, because when that segment was on, I said, you know, he looks like a car salesman that I just wouldn't buy a car from. Yep. And she agreed with me. She was like, yeah.
You know, the person I bought my last car from was a guy named Eric Bischoff. And how did that end up coming out?
Look, I think we all know how I do when it comes to shopping for cars, okay? Y'all saw the clip. I got locked in a fucking trunk. I'm still upset at Damian Drake and Matt Vandegrift for that shit.
Sure. You should be. Oh, man. Let's jump over. Over to AEW, man. Let's just get right into it. And the only thing I'll say, Steve, and tell me if I'm wrong.
You are.
Hollywood Hunk equals Dolph Ziggler.
It's his brother.
I didn't know that.
Are you serious?
It's his brother. Are
you serious? You didn't realize that was his brother?
Well, I did now.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Yeah. Well, no, seriously.
Well,
like,
no, it makes sense, but why is he?
Ryan Nemeth is.
But it's one thing to look
Dolph's
like
brother.
Him. Which makes sense, but the whole act was also the same. That's what really, like, why is it not a different act? You know, that's what really threw me off.
Because Tony Khan's a fucking booking genius, according to Dave Meltzer. So,
gotcha.
According to Dave Meltzer, according to the responders to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards.
Yeah, Dave Meltzer.
Okay.
Oh, come on. That shit's not legit.
Yeah, you of all people to claim conspiracy theory shit.
Come on, you guys really want to jump?
It's not a conspiracy.
Michaels.
It's his own.
It's not real.
It's his own fucking newsletter.
Fake
Why
votes.
Would he not put whatever he wants in it?
You guys just cannot wait for that show. It's the three count show. We gonna get to it.
Hey, you know what? That just means that you guys need to tune in for that shit.
Yeah, because I have a lot to say too.
It's gonna be good.
I have a lot to say too. Go ahead, man. AEW.
So AEW. Honestly, this show was pretty solid. I was thoroughly sports entertained for 2 hours. So that's huge. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of missteps here and there, but quite frankly, when isn't there from week to week? I think that the main event was extremely solid. You had Lance Archer and Rey Fénix mm-hmm. in a qualifying match for a ladder match at Revolution. And this ladder match will determine the face of All Elite Wrestling. So that's pretty amazing. It looks to be...
They get a title shot, right? Wasn't it the TNT title shot?
Yeah, but it's what they're calling the face of the Revolution ladder match. So it's going to be Ray or on Dynamite was Rey Fénix versus Lance Archer. Quite frankly, Rey Fénix looked amazing in this match. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of occasions that things weren't as fluid or as crisp, but very solid stuff in this match. Lance Archer just doing Lance Archer things mm-hmm. Week in and week out. This guy, he's 6'6 plus. I mean, he's doing moonsaults off of the old school position. I mean, the guy is so fucking talented, man. I'm really happy to see him getting a good sustained push. And also he just had a birthday. So happy birthday, Lance Archer. Mm-hmm. And the thing that stood out to me, dude's 44 years old.
Oh, wow.
He's 44. He looks like he's 10 years younger right. than what he is.
Yeah.
So props to him, man. All around. Good shit. There was also a women's world title eliminator match. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Yeah, that's correct.
Versus Nyla Rose. I had to get that right.
Please do.
This match, honestly, it felt like it went on and on. There were a couple of times during this match where I thought it was over. And quite frankly, I kind of wished that it would have been. Mm. So it did what it needed to do. Nyla Rose advances in the tournament. I didn't even mention the outcome in the first match because I'm an idiot. Lance Archer defeated Rey Fénix, so he moves on in the ladder match. This match, I mean,
who do you go with, Thunder Rosa, or do you go with Nyla against whoever is
Thunder Rosa?
I would too.
Thunder Rosa.
I got a feeling they go with Nyla.
You know, that wouldn't necessarily surprise me, because they pushed her to the top extremely quickly, and a lot of people were complaining that she was too green and that, you know, she didn't have enough exposure. People didn't know who she was, all this kind of stuff. So I could see them doing that for sure. But I really would love to see Thunder Rosa just win the whole damn thing. And,
is she actually, though, here's my concern. I don't think she's officially under contract.
Right. That's the only thing. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying this to be a dick, but so is she still on the NWA payroll?
Well, I, you know what, from doing a lot of my researches to today for topics, it looks like NWA is about to get back up and going from what I was kind of reading. I heard they took all of their shows off of YouTube. Mm-hmm. And doing a revamp. So look like something's about to happen, and maybe that's, you know,
we'll see, man. Yeah. We'll see. I think Thunder Rosa would have a great match against Ryo Mizunami, who won the Japanese bracket of the Women's World Title Eliminator Tournament. Who I find it funny. Her gimmick and look almost look like a female version of Okada. So if you've looked at Okada's gear, like his ring jacket and stuff like that, mm-hmm. That was the very first thing that popped out into my head was, holy shit, they look similar yet different. So that was really cool. I don't know if that was on purpose or whatever, but good shit there. And then you did also, the other thing that really stood out for me on the show was you had the Hangman Page and Isaiah Cassidy match, mm-hmm. which I thought was a very, very, very solid match between two guys that are, you know, just killing it on a regular basis. Cassidy is getting better week to week. That was always the knock on him was that, again, it's very similar to Nyla Rose, that he is green at times, looks kind of clunky here and there, but dude, this match was pretty solid. You had the elements of, you know, big money Matt Hardy and the Hybrid 2 watching from ringside, getting involved when, you know, the referee was distracted, typical heel 101 shit. And then what happens? But you have two members of the Dark Order come out and Dark chase Order. Big money Matt Hardy off. Ooh. And it ended up with, of all people, Allen Angels 5 getting thrown off the stage through a table. Hangman Page did pick up the win. But the Dark Order came out to save Page. And we'll see where that goes. Oh, but.
Fucks. For fuck's sake, just make up your mind, fucking AEW.
No shit. I just have Paige go with the Dark Order.
Yeah.
Have him ascend to be the fucking new leader. I don't give a shit.
That would make a lot more sense.
One problem. Hangman Page, he just does not have that fucking leadership quality. Listen, from day one, Hangman Page was the build-up. It was like, this guy is going to be the fucking face of this company. He's going to be so good. He's going to be the first champ, et cetera, et cetera. This guy doesn't look like he can hold the fucking liquor that he's handling. That's how bad I think that, you know, that's why no one could figure out what the fuck to do with him. It's because he is a guy who has talent in the ring, but no fucking personality.
Mm.
Period. Put a fucking mask on him and make him part of the Dark Order. Don't make him the leader.
Shit.
Damn. Same. I mean, because you know what? I buy him as a fucking assassin more so than a fucking leader of a group. You know who'd be a better leader? Fucking Lance Archer, if anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I would
be totally behind Lance Archer running shit at the Dark Order.
Yeah.
Well, fuck. Have Jake running the goddamn thing and Lance being the the centerpiece, and then, you know. But again, now the Dark Order is not dark.
Right. Now they're a comedy, like a comedy gimmick.
Yeah.
So, listen, the way things are going and the way Tony Khan is just fucking the way he is, my money is by the end of 2022, -1 is the champion. And you laugh, but something tells me a year from the date of the death of Luke Harper, they put the belt on the kid. Just out of respect for the celebration, you know, the anniversary of his death.
I would absolutely have to see Negative One try to pick up that title belt. That is a heavy fucking championship belt. No shit, it's like 40 pounds.
Yeah, it is.
When I was on the Jericho cruise, they allowed us to have a photo op with it. That's the heaviest belt that I've ever held in my life. So, yeah. If for no other reason than just to see the obvious comic memes that would result, whatever.
But, you know,
it's not like it's never been done in pro wrestling,
right?
Putting a major championship on a kid, Nicholas.
Sure. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't put it past me if they do it, you know, out of 1 year anniversary, just do it. It will be for a day. And then of course the title, you know,
but how does he lose the match? Cause you know, he can't take a bump.
Well, who the fuck knows? But I do love the fact that you just brought up a great point. Tony Khan has got to be so fucking smart that he thought that when they called it the heavyweight title, it wasn't referring to the weight of the competitors, but the weight of the actual belt.
Oh, man. Yep, that's a good point. Steve, please talk about Papa Buck and Mama Buck.
Jesus Christ. What fucking ketchup bottle exploded?
No shit. So here's the funny shit about that is supposedly, and this is getting this from Brian Alvarez. Okay. As we all know, Alvarez has people from within AEW that give him info.
Right.
He point blank said that when Papa Buck was approached about the angle of bring you guys up to speed, long story short, at the very beginning of the show, they show the Young Bucks entering the building with their parents, Papa and Mama Buck. And, you knew something was going to happen. Like, they walked past a semi-truck that had the AEW branding on it. And one of the trucks just happens to have Matt and Nick Jackson on the back of it. And they make a point of taking a picture in front of the thing. So later on in the show, you have... the Young Bucks run out and fucking MJF and Jericho cut a promo, and they do their damnedest to be 80s wrestling heels in this promo. It was like, oh, the villainy of it all. It was fucking hilarious more than anything. And then they peel back, and they're standing in front of the AEW truck, and you see Papa Buck bludgeoned, basically got a crimson mask on, and thus obviously implying that MJF and Jericho beat him and bloodied him. So then they take Papa Buck and they throw him against the back of the truck, so that literally his head hits Nick's body, and the blood goes onto Nick. And Papa Buck had a fucking, as Matt was saying, probably half a bottle of ketchup in his hand. So that when he was thrown into the truck, he made a point of reaching 2 feet in the air, higher than his head, and slapping the top so that he slapped Nick's face. Okay? And as if that wasn't enough, then MJF does the exact same shit, except with Matt's picture on the back of the truck. So you've got this great imagery, tons of fake blood. But evidently, when they went to Papa Buck and talked to him about the angle, the very first thing that he said was, well, can I cut myself? Can I blade? He actually wanted to juice for this backstage segment. So that was pretty fucking funny.
They should have just, instead of with Papa, I just think they should have did it with Mama. She should have just been the one that took the throw. Yeah, why not?
Attitude Era WWE just called. You can't do that anymore, Impact.
Oh, damn.
You can't talk about that.
Well, you know I'm stuck in the 90s, man. Damn.
I'm sorry. We can't do that anymore, and we're going to have an exploding barbed wire fucking...
We are going to have an exploding barbed wire death match. God damn it. Ring ropes will be wrapped in barbed wire. Thank you to Excalibur for giving us the full breakdown of exactly what's going to happen with this match. The ring ropes are going to be wrapped in barbed wire, and there will be quote unquote landmines on the outside of the ring.
By the way, best announcer. That's what he won. Best fucking announcer. Don't tell me Meltzer doesn't fucking make the shit
hey,
up.
Hey, hold up. You're getting too involved into three count. We're going to talk about it. Let's move over, though, into NXT. Guys, what you think about that? I heard Adam Cole had to explain himself. How did that go? Did he do a good job?
Actions speak louder, bro.
Yeah.
Dude. It's so compelling right now that, you know, what they're doing, especially with the fact that they put no holds barred with that fucking thing last week with Kyle, you know, that was pretty nasty just in general, given sell or no sell. It was pretty rough. And then have Roddy come in. It's exactly what you need. You need that deterioration of the fucking, that, you know, they can still continue doing it. But again, Cole is on his own trajectory now. So
yeah,
about time. I think the biggest thing though, that cross match was just Jesus.
Hell yeah.
And it did a really nice thing, and that was it built up a guy who is smaller in stature. So they let him at least show that he's as tough as that he says he is, which I think in the end should give a little leverage to the 205 belt. And then, of course, you know, Cross, there's no way Cross is going to lose because he was wrestling a fucking 3-on-1 handicap match, essentially. So, you know, it was a great job. A lot of just nice, brutal spots. No ketchup bottles. So, you know, that's good. And then you had Zoe. You know, talk about making someone fucking look great. And not fucking taking anything away from her losing.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. The only thing obviously they're not going too far into building her as of yet, but boy, it would have been nice to see when Io went to give her that handshake.
Mm-hmm.
If Zoe would have just fucking clotheslined her, it would have just been nice.
Well, they're making her just a complete baby face right now, it seems like. So,
you know, it's
like a badass baby face.
Yeah, it's interesting to see if they're gonna go along that route, because she can be a badass baby face. But I think what's interesting is that in the end, if you watch her work, heel would be phenomenal. At FSW, we got to see her as a face. She was a great face. I've always thought that as soon as you let her be heel, dude, you're printing money at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's, again, a good setup with Tony, because I think Tony, this is the opportune time. I mean, take the belt off you.
Yeah.
At this point. Bring her up.
Yep.
If anything.
Exactly.
Maybe. Fuck, do me a favor, if you're listening, Paul, you know, Mr. Levesque, please have Tony take the title off of her within the next 3 weeks. Bring Io up, have Io go against Asuka WrestleMania. Book it, please. please.
I'm sold.
I think you just got the message.
I think that would be phenomenal. And then you could do something like you could bring back. It's going to be Asuka and Charlotte, I think, because of the fact that this would be their third match. You have the final, and maybe Asuka finally beat Charlotte at a WrestleMania. But that would
I wish.
Well, I think it would. I mean, you would have to, because don't forget, they were tag partners now. You know, Charlotte's going through all these things. She's just frustrated. She fights her, and now Charlotte has an excuse. She wasn't in the right mindset, you know, blah, blah, blah. But EO versus Asuka would be appealing. Plus, it would put the belt on someone else at this point, which would be nice. You know, elsewhere in the show, I'm trying to think if there was any other real... I love Johnny Gargano. If I had a child, I would probably sell my child if it allowed me to watch Johnny Gargano for the rest of my life.
Oh my God.
Because just brilliance, man. Brilliance. And this starting off the show, first of all, having that match was a great idea. Because it just kind of, you felt like, you want to see Loomis beat the shit out of him, right? And you know that there's going to be some kind of heel shit going on with Theory. And then this whole play on the whole, he didn't hit him with a chair. And then to find out that Austin Theory now feels sympathetic to Loomis after being kidnapped. But then when Indy said that she thinks he's kind of cute, the fucking reaction that Candace...
Yes.
I just, you know what? There's nothing better than those two on TV, man. I honestly, if USA is watching this, please... We've seen Miz and we've seen
yes.
Replace that show with these two, please.
Give us the Gargano way.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I agree with that.
Shit. Oh my God. And you know what? Honestly, even if the WWE, if this would be the perfect time for NXT to produce their own series like that, you know, just do it for the network.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be phenomenal, and you could actually use it instead of a reality show like you have for Total Divas and Miz, and that you just you have it fairly scripted as kind of a sitcom-y type feel. They're gold, man. They're gold.
It's true.
Why not do something similar to what AEW's been doing with Being the Elite? Honestly,
yeah.
You know, I would get behind that 110%.
Yeah, absolutely. Why the fuck not? It's just a pleasure to think that you got to look back and you got to go, he was such a fucking huge baby face.
I know, right?
Fans just fucking drooled all over him. Yeah. And now he's the smartest chicken shit heel. And it's the same with Candace, man. Mm-hmm. Finally got a chance not to just see cute little Candace, you know. Fuck that. It's like, now we get to see that they are just nasty, disgusting human beings. Like most of us truly are.
There you go.
It's relatable, and that's why it works.
Hey, speak for yourself.
I absolutely am. Everyone else too.
Oh man!
But that—that I think that was pretty much the gist of NXT. It's fucking again. It hits on all cylinders. I guess you know what it comes down to is this: if you compare the two shows, yes, AEW does things fairly well, and they should. They're a bigger production. You know, they're trying to compete at a bigger level. But they have fucking Sting. And that type, you know, it's like when that kind of shit comes up, that's what makes me go, okay, let me look the other way for a second. And the problem I still see is that if you look away from AEW, and you look to NXT, it's hard to turn NXT off at that point. So
yeah,
you know, they're gonna battle that. As long as they're always on Wednesday nights, they're gonna battle that. And I think, Steve, you are the one that I think said, you know, if NXT was on Tuesdays, or you know, if AEW had the flexibility, I mean, they really don't because of the NBA. I think in a heartbeat you move them to another night.
Yep.
So
yeah, each show would definitely do better if they ran unopposed, without question. And I've said that for, you know, for quite some time. It's crazy. It's crazy the way that everything works. But you definitely would see, you know, I'd say each show would be over a million. Each show would be over a million.
It'd be right up there. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, good, guys. We will jump over into Ring of Honor. And good stuff this week, man. It was championship night. We had both the tag team titles that were up, along with the Ring of Honor World Championship match. The tag team was LFI, Dragon Lee, who's also the current TV title champion as well, and Kenny King going against the Foundation's Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. And it was under pure rules. And as you can imagine, fast pace. I mean, it was really a great match seeing these guys go head and head. But when it came down to it, the winners of that became LFI. They took the titles from the Foundation. And that now gave Dragon Lee two titles, the TV title, and now he had the tag team title. So, you know, I mean, these guys pretty much had all the titles from this point, the TV title, the tag team title, and of course you have Roosh, which before that match was still the world title. So LFI was just living in gold from that point of the match. Kenny King, though, he decided after his match was over, he was going to go sit at the commentator's table over there with Rick Abani. And, you know, he was just adding to the match that was coming up against Roosh and Shane Taylor, which, by the way, if you guys haven't got a chance to listen to that interview that was released Friday, it's worth listening to. Yes, they talked about the match somewhat, but it's a lot of other new information that we talked to with Shane. And we got a chance to find out if, you know, if Frozen is just, he just had enough with it, that he just had to let it go. If you want to know more about that, listen to the interview. Very fascinating. And if you know Shane Taylor talking about Frozen, it had to be really good, right? It's check it out if you get a chance to. But that match took place. Kenny, the whole time, of course, at the commentator's table, talking about how Shane, of course, is his brother. They train. They're great friends. The whole time, it's just great to see him in this moment, and how his new team he's with LFI, that he's a part of, that they just better, you know, just be respectful and everything during this match. It's just a one-on-one. It's not like Soldiers of Savagery, which is part of Shane Taylor's promotion, is going to get involved with anything. So let's keep it clean. So this match literally was set for 60 minutes, and it started, I think, about 40 minutes into their show. So if it went over, it was going to go over into their Ring of Honor club. So he's going to have to tune in there. Hopefully you had a, you know, a subscription to that, only if it got to there. But it didn't have to go over to the club, because there was a winner right at the time the show was to go off. And what ended up happening is, of course, Todd, we love Todd as being the referee, gets knocked out accidentally by Roosh. And that, of course, brought a chair into the mix. And again, Kenny's like, I told you guys, we're going to keep it clean. So he left the table to go grab this chair, which Roosh has in his hand, about to knock out Shane with, because Shane has now been knocked out. And this match, by the way, has been great. You really have no idea who's going to win. They both went You would think looking at it that Shane was just gonna just tear Roosh up when you look at the numbers when you compare, but dude, Roosh handled his own, you know, and Shane went many times. I'm like, God dang, you know, I see why, you know, Roosh is the title holder. Nevertheless, he's got this chair, and now he's about to hit Shane with it. Kenny jumps in the ring, takes the chair from Roosh, and says, "Look, you're not gonna do that." And before you know it, Kenny takes the swing. Roosh gets out of the way and hits Shane with the chair. It was the swerve of all swerves. After sitting here talking about how much they're good friends and there's going to be a great match and we're not going to let any cheating get involved, it's going to be a straight match. And of course, Kenny Kingston up there laughing as Roosh maintains the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight belt. Man, that was sucked to see that happen, but overall, I mean, hey, LFI got all the belts. They looked great that night, and you know, it is what it is.
it really concerns me that you call it the swerve of all time.
Well, I just say it was.
If you've ever watched wrestling, DJ, you should have known that a chair and a guy on commentary saying great things through the whole match means that the guy's getting hit with the chair.
That is true. That is true. But it was a great, it's worth, even, you know, you knowing how the outcome would be, it's worth just seeing that match. Because again, watching Shane and Roosh go at it just that 20 minutes, I mean, it was something that you don't see very often, to see Shane handled that way, for sure. I was just like, fuck. But they knocked it out the park, man. Good stuff. If you get a chance to watch Ring of Honor, guys, please do. Find it. It's there. You know, join the Honor Club, you know, YouTube, wherever you can. Fightful, is it?
Fight TV. Fight TV. Any station that's Sinclair Broadcasting in your local market, check them out. They should be on.
Yeah, please find it. With that, let's jump over just quickly over into New Japan. And Steve, I guess we should start off with the U.S. IWGP title that was against Moxley and Kenta. Man, how did that come out?
Well, it was a match. there was a ton of buildup. You know, a ton of people were looking forward to this match, mm-hmm. and I don't know what it was, but it just, they did not do well together. They just didn't have great chemistry.
Wow.
This match left a lot to be desired, and to be bluntly honest, the wrong person won. Jon Moxley retained his championship. Kenta should have won that title without question. Wow. So it is what it is, as they say. But so the U.S. title reign goes on for Jon Moxley in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
You know, I know that they. So I guess they're so there's no relationship, right? I guess per se between New Japan and AEW, maybe a little bit, but not fully. Or is there?
Well, I mean, they've got the door's open, bro.
The question,
the forbidden door is wide open at this point,
right? Why doesn't Moxley ever really come out with that particular title?
Because it up until Kenta showed up on AEW Dynamite, mm-hmm. they weren't in a working relationship.
Okay.
And it was borderline hostile between Kenny Omega, the Bucks, and New Japan management.
Right.
Long story short, there was a lot of stuff that went down between Omega and Harold May, the former president of New Japan. And
did you just say Omega went down on Harold May?
Oh, shit. keep going.
Selective hearing, Michaels. So once May was removed, that kind of, you know, that allowed for the dialogue to happen between the two companies. And clearly, the door is open to be able to do new things. As you mentioned earlier, Impact, mm-hmm. you had Finjuice show up and do mm-hmm. their thing on Impact TV.
Right.
you know, you've had Kenny Omega do his thing as the belt collector, going around from promotion to promotion. It wouldn't surprise me if he would show back up in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Sure.
At some point.
Yeah.
And especially when the stakes have never been higher.
Right. Yeah, I just thought it was pretty interesting that he, you know, we never really see him with that that title. It definitely would bring some interest over, you know, him.
Yeah.
You know, holding that belt around. So.
Yeah. All right. I mean, it is what it is, but the latest New Japan show, Castle Attack, just ended. I would highly recommend anybody that has the New Japan World subscription to seek this match out. I want you to go check out Kota Ibushi versus Tetsuya Naito from Castle Attack. Some people are saying it's the best match that they've ever had, and they've had numerous matches with each other. It was a 27 plus minute match and very hard hitting. Ultimately, what we saw was we saw Naito come up just short and Ibushi retain the IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental Championships. And what's really of note about that is chances are, according to the timelines that I've read, that is the last time that those championships, as they are currently named, will be defended. Mm. Now, it's not too often that I get a chance to do this because, Impact, you are amazing at setting the table for us every week. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to break some news.
Okay.
Earlier today, so that would be October the 28th, 2021. October. Wow. Fucking hell. February 28th, 2021. Sorry.
You can be in the future. It's all right.
Yeah. Whatever. The New Japan main championship is the IWGP Heavyweight Championship title. The secondary championship is the IWGP Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. Mm-hmm. Tokyo Sports is reporting today, February 28th, 2021, that those two titles, which had been merged, will now be formally merged, and they will be a singular title now known as the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. So no longer will they be carrying around two championship belts. Mm. Now they will be unveiling a new secondary championship in the weeks and months to come.
Okay.
So we'll see where that goes. But obviously, them getting rid of the Intercontinental Championship and absorbing it into the now World Heavyweight Championship is it's pretty big news.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of big names that have held that championship. So yeah, very interesting stuff to come out of.
You think that's a smart thing to do? Like, what if
I do?
What if what was WWE was to do that? What if they were to take that Intercontinental Championship and combine it with, let's say, the Universal title? I mean,
they've done that numerous times, mm-hmm. with the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship. Mm-hmm. They've, you know, went in and they formed the WWE Championship, but it was only on one brand. But then they had to get a second championship, so they created the Universal Championship.
Right.
So, I mean, WWE has done it in very recent memory. Mm-hmm. So
they've done it with the fucking Intercontinental and U.S. belts, where they've changed shit up, where mm-hmm. one was retired for a while.
So you see it as being beneficial for New Japan and go ahead and do that?
I do. Yeah. Okay, I mean, gotcha. They're going to obviously recognize the history and those title reigns and things like that, because those types of things matter over there. But it's one of those situations where, yeah, why not? And at this point, you don't have to beat Ibushi to take one of those titles off of him. So now you have your champion continuing to look strong, and you can have two brand new challengers for this secondary championship. Yeah. So I think it's very smart.
I think you just made me hungry when you said eat sushi.
Lord of mercy.
Right. Well, guys, that's pretty much our wrestling talk. Look like we've got all caught up after being away for a week. But Like I said earlier, look like NWA. It's going to maybe something may be happening there. Shout out also to MLW. We don't shout them out, but they're doing big things as well. And, you know, it's a lot
you're
of.
Gonna, you're going to make the fucking show 9 hours, aren't you? By every single promotion across the fucking country. Right?
Well, I doubt we'll touch on it. But if something happens major, we got to talk about it, you know?
ICP is just really knocking it out of the park with the Juggalo wrestlers.
Juggalo championship wrestling.
Hey.
Not championship with a P. It's championship with a T.
Absolutely.
I'm not kidding.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, there you go. It's, hey, all I'm saying is check it out. Check it out. Find your entertainment spot and give it a watch and enjoy it. That's what it's all about right now, man. It's getting almost back to the way, you know, close to the way we used to, but we still got a few more months to go. We'll see. I mean, AEW, I guess they still got some fans up in there, and they're little, what is that they call it, amphitheater or whatever,
Daily's place.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess we're slowly getting there. WWE, they have yet to put tickets, but we know that they're going to come. So, normalcy's on its way.
I wish.
It's on its way.
I wish.
I know. Well, with that, guys, look, that's our wrestling talk. Stick around if you want to listen to 3Count live. Other than that, if you're listening to this on our podcast, this will be on Tuesday. You're going to want to hear this, though, because as you have already heard, there's already talks and discussions and ready to throw punches at this list that just came out. Let's just talk. Let's just get into that to the next show, because I have a lot to say about that. So everyone, thank you for listening to Wrestling Talk. Until then, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.